Hey y'all, as promised, this is part two of that customer experience episode with Megan Darrell, our customer experience and brand specialist. Let's get back into it.
You are listening to CORE, powered by and for the Holt family of companies. Let's dig in.
We deal with a ton of different businesses. And when we're dealing with these different businesses, we have a lot of different sizes of businesses that we're dealing with across all divisions. So what's the customer experience like? Is it different between those super big businesses versus some of our little mom and pop businesses?
It depends on who you ask. If you're the smaller mom and pop business, I feel like sometimes they will say that their experience is not the same as if they were a Tyker, if they were a Goodfellows, if they are the bigger contractor well-known in the area, they feel like they don't get as much special focus, that they're just in and out of the door and such. But I don't think that's true. Like, ideally, no matter the size of the customer, we as a company, the Holt family of companies, should be providing the same experience regardless of the size of your fleet. Whether you've been with the company for 20 plus years and you've worked with us, your grandfather's worked with us, such so on, you should still be experiencing this. The new customer who walks in, just bought a machine off the lot, should get the same experience regardless. And that's what we need to focus on as a company, is making sure that no matter how big or how small, we're providing consistently exceptional customer service.
Yeah, because this business, at the end of the day, it is relationship driven. So when we're talking about some of our bigger businesses, they have relationships that go a lot deeper just because of the time that's been allowed to for that relationship to develop. Whereas some of these mom and pops, maybe we do have some really strong, long-standing relationships with them because they've been a customer of ours for so long. So it's less of the size and it's more of maybe the time that we've allowed that relationship to develop. So let's talk a little bit about how we measure customer experience and then how we use the data to improve the experience that we provide. So to start, Megan, can you explain just a brief rundown of some of the universal measurements of customer experience?
Net loyalty score is the likeliness of a customer coming back to you and staying loyal to you and your business, and also promoting you to other businesses.
And correct me if I'm wrong, this is not an individualized thing.
So not everyone measures their net loyalty score, but they should. And for us, we use the Daniels Group to kind of measure that for Holt of California and for Holt Ag Solutions. So we use the Daniels Group to measure our net loyalty score. And so the Daniels Group calls on the behalf of Holt California or Holt Ag Solutions and calls the customer and asks them what their experience was like, whether they were buying parts or they had a field service technician come out and fix something for them, or if their sales transaction, how that interaction went. And when we get the NLS score, you can kind of see if the customer is rating you a 10, that means they're a promoter and they're most likely going to tell another person, like, hey, like, you should use Holt Ag Solutions if you're looking for a new machine.
Awesome. So why is our net loyalty score important to us?
So the net loyalty score is important for us because we can kind of see whether a customer is likely to promote us or tell someone not to go to us. And we use the net loyalty score and the surveys to kind of see if we need training. So when we are below a certain number, if we're at like a 79 and we want to hit 80, we go through the surveys and we kind of try to figure out what went wrong. So an example of this is a few years ago, one of the divisions, they asked me to look at all of their surveys for 2022. And they said, like, hey, can you look in our data and see if there was something that was consistently wrong, because our net loyalty score is pretty low. And so I went through and looked through all the surveys, and I focused on the detractor and passive and vulnerable customers to see how they scored us and why they did. And I had to look at the notes for it. And found out going through the surveys is that one of the newest sales reps, there was several comments saying that their sales reps was not knowledgeable in the products that they sell, and that they were suggesting the wrong type of machine for what they needed. And that was easily fixed by just sending the sales rep to more training. And so that's kind of like, or this is why the net loyalty score is important in doing surveys, because you kind of hear what the customer is experiencing and you can kind of pinpoint what you need to work on. And if that means more training or maybe a process or system isn't working out.
I think it's also important to note that these measurements are important to our larger team, that is, our manufacturers. On the whole Ag Solutions side, our net loyalty score is tied to our Dealer Excellence program, which can affect the amount of support that we receive from AGCO. So Megan, can you explain more about this and tell me what it looks like on the CAT side?
It's essentially the same. Caterpillar looks at our surveys and they see our score and they send us a yearly report. So we can kind of see how we measure compared to other dealers in the areas. And it's not to compare so you can say one is better than the other, but it's just to remind them like, hey, I think in 2021 or 2020, when COVID happened, a lot of scores dropped because of the lack of parts availability. And that was a common trend for all manufacturers, not just Caterpillar or AGCO. The net loyalty score is important and it's good to see how you compare to other dealers and manufacturers, but you shouldn't dwell on it because sometimes it's trends within the industry and it's beyond what we can fix and repair.
So Megan, what do we have to look forward to on the customer experience front?
We'll have a customer experience handbook in the next year or so that we can help all departments, divisions, employees provide consistently exceptional customer experience for everyone. And so that it ties into the piece of why it's important to being consistent, and that playbook will really have an impact on making sure that we are consistent.
Well, that's super helpful because it's really easy to say, hey, like you need to do better. You need to provide better customer experience. But what you're saying is that this playbook is actually going to have listed out specific things that you can do to change in your everyday practice to improve that customer experience. Things that maybe as a customer-facing employee, you don't think about affecting the customer, but just things that make a difference. So Megan, I actually have a question. How has COVID-19 changed the customer experience?
So I think a lot of customers expect you to answer in their preferred way of communication. I think that pre-COVID, it was just primarily over the phone, in person, and email. And now we've seen customers prefer to be texted. They don't want to bother opening up their email and seeing something. And I think that's shifted a lot of ways of how people prefer communication. And we as a company need to realize that and adapt to it.
Which is something that I think that we've already seen. You know, in our last episode, we had Angelo, who is a rental coordinator, talking about how he texts a lot of his customers because they just need quick updates and they already have that pre-established relationship where it's easy to provide that to them. So yeah, talking with them in their preferred communication is something that we've already had to adapt to. And if you haven't done it, you're going to be doing it. Megan, even when we're not interacting with customers directly, our customers are still having some sort of an experience with our company. How do we manage customer experience digitally?
So how you would manage customer experience digitally is just making sure that your store hours are up to date, that they're matching what's posted online, and that you're actually open when you say you are, making sure that the phone numbers are getting to a person and not just going straight to someone's voicemail or a number that's disconnected.
So at the beginning of this, we talked about how interactions with different departments affect their experience as a whole with Holt of California.
If I want a service on a machine and I filled out a quote on the form, I expect an answer within a day to 2 days. And it's up to us to make sure that when those forms come in, that the customer is notified within at least 48 hours that their form has been received and that somebody is working out on it.
Yeah, well, I fill out forms all the time in my personal life. I bought a pair of shoes, okay? I accidentally bought two pairs of this specific shoe. So I contacted them and I said, hey, accidentally got two pairs of this shoe. I only wanted one. I was double charged. I'd like to return this second shoe and send it back. Can I do that? Waited a couple days, didn't hear anything from them. I got really frustrated. I reached out again through a different form, tried to call, nothing. Reached out through their social media, nothing. Even though I never even talked to somebody at this company, I now have a sour taste in my mouth for it. So that's so important, even before they get to a person, that their experience is exceptional.
Phone call, a form, directions to the location really impacts everything.
Okay, so let's touch on our internal customers. What are the differences between customer experience and employee experience?
So for me personally, the way I look at it is employee experience equals customer experience. If the employee is not happy or if they're not in the best mood, it really impacts the customer's experience with the company. So if I'm in a bad mood and you call me, I may not be pleasant on the phone. And that impacts you as a customer who's calling me. And that gives you a negative taste in it leaves a negative taste in your mouth that like, oh, I don't want to deal with this person. They were pretty grumpy on my phone. So we have to treat each other the same way we would treat a customer, because in the end, each person's position in this company impacts the customer's experience. So if you're not helping out another employee, or if you're slacking or behind on your project, you may not realize it, but that affects the customer, because that prevents the person who's working with the customer to get it done. And so I think that there's no difference. They're the same. And we need to work together to make sure that we're providing the same experience for both employee and customer.
And that drags in our other core value, continuous improvement through teamwork. It really is about the team. It's about ensuring that each one of our internal customers are having that exceptional experience as well. Because happy employees are crucial to providing a good customer experience. So improving employee experience and building that customer-centric culture can have a very powerful effect. I mean, when you think about it, our mindsets as employees have a great impact on delivering and understanding a superior customer experience. So before we close this episode, I'm hoping that you can share some quick tips that employees can implement into their roles today. For example, in our last episode, Angelo shared that one of his touches is he actually walks the customer out to the machine instead of just pointing them to their next stop.
So my quick tip for employees to implement into their roles today is when you answer the phone, no matter who it is, greet them with a smile. It really makes a difference when you are answering the phone, especially in a world where people hate answering phones. You can hear the tone. And when you're smiling, you may not think it makes a difference, but it will for the person who's calling you.
All right. So with that, we will go ahead and close. Thank you so much, Megan, for joining us today. I look forward to seeing what future customer experience improvement tactics we have coming our way, especially with that customer experience playbook. Thanks, everyone. Remember to keep building, keep growing, and keep listening to CORE.